Blog Talk Radio.
Generation of Redemption. You're listening to Blessed Brother Soul and Spirit Isaac Patton from the famous Frank Ocean Jam on his Generation Redemption, from his Generation Redemption album. Good morning, everyone. We're going to just ask Mechila, forgiveness from Isaac, as we turn down the music. Let's turn it down right now. Okay. Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we want to stay alive. In Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. This is now the 297th class of Soul Class, and it's entitled Written Letters / Engraved Letters of Love. We took about almost a two-week break from our humble efforts as a Torah Askan, Torah activist, because we had some family come in from Eretz Yisrael, the Holy Land, getting to celebrate Bezer Hashem, and hopefully we'll talk about it in future shows with the blessings of the Most High. My son Yosef Yitzhak Goodman, Hashem Yishmerenu, Mekod Devar Ra, may the Most High protect him from any evil thing, that he will start to put on tefillin tomorrow, which we'll talk about hopefully in future shows as well. As well, last Tuesday was the graduation of my oldest child, Chaya Mushka Bat Sima Simcha. May she go Mechayelo Choyel in her efforts to empower human beings, enjoy the blessed human experience of speech, koach hadibur, in her endeavors to become a top-notch speech pathologist. She will hopefully be going to Brooklyn College in the next semester, and hopefully more good news coming down that vein. Now, with that being said, blessed souls, after 2 weeks, when we just talked about, we want to bring out a seminal point that's rooted within a teaching from the late 18th century, or perhaps it was written in the early 19th century, taught by a direct descendant of King David and King Solomon. And this teaching regards the idea of otiyot, of letters, which are how they can be transmitted from one human being to another, or one human being to a community, or one human being to all the nations of the world, the blessed B'nai Noach, children of Noah. As well, I want to integrate, as well, blessed souls, some health information. No, I am not a medical doctor. I'm actually a counselor in the field of mental health. And I think that we all have a disability, as I would like to quote and requote, and hopefully never forget to quote, Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Goldstock, director of American Heart to Heart, that we all have a disability. It's called mortality. So how we deal with our mortality, that can have positive outcomes, negative outcomes, and outcomes in between, which will hopefully make us stronger. So I want to quote, before we get into the meat of the show, by making you aware of a wonderful book I recently purchased, and it's one of two books I hope to be sharing with you in the future. This book is called The Joy of Juicing by Dr. Gary Null. Null has a radio show here in New York City on WBAI 99.5, which you can catch. He also has a website which you can connect to. Now, it does not bother me that on certain levels of perception of Dr. Null's part, I think he's a little bit worked over the whole issue of the Zionists. Well, Baruch Hashem, I am not a Zionist, so I don't have issue with him, but he does make the mistake of maybe consciously or subconsciously casting all of us, of the Jewish people, the Israelite people, the Hebrew Jewish Israelite people, into the same boat. And I don't think he's doing it maliciously, but one has to be very careful. But when it comes to talking about matters of health and nutrition, as an advocate, teacher, research individual, Dr. Null, I think, has very few peers, and his dedication to empowering other human beings emotionally, spiritually, from his perspective, spirituality, and health and eating habits is very praiseworthy. So I'm just going to just pluck out some things, and hopefully I will arouse within you to want to purchase this book and then share it with others. So the second chapter. See, is it listed in chapters? Well, basically, it's part of section 1, the basics of juicing. He asked the question, why juicing? And he goes on, Dr. Null, to mention the whole idea that various types of diseases which are incurred, unfortunately, Hashem Yishmeinu, Hashem protect us, during the human life experience, are connected to a certain side of type of damage connected to free radicals. And there is a way to rectify the damaging effects of free radicals or unstable molecules. And that means is by introducing antioxidants into one's diet. And on page 8 of his book, he discusses very tersely how free radicals, those damaging agents, are produced. And he stresses the critical importance of incorporating antioxidant-rich foods into the diet. And he mentions that juicing is an ideal way of taking in high levels of essential disease-fighting agents. So hopefully we'll get back to that in the future. Effort on our part, and again, I would heavily recommend this book. This is called The Joy of Juicing, which is also described as 150 imaginative, healthful juicing recipes for drinks, soups, salads, sauces, and entrees, and desserts. And by this time, you should realize, listeners, I am, in fact, yes, I'm coming out of the closet once again, as I have in the past. I am a J for J. I am a Jew who promotes juicing. Now, let's get into our humble efforts here, blessed souls. The truth is, I had started to prepare for a show over 2 weeks ago. At that time, it was Parshas Korach, and I was not able to bring it to fruition. So we're sharing basically bits and pieces of meditations that I had started to put together, and we'll share now 2 weeks later. And hopefully, Most High give me the time, we'll hopefully try to discuss in our continuing series about the Prophet Leper and Divine Glory Revealed what parsha we're learning this week. I'll just hopefully maybe leave you a little bit in suspense. So let's now go into a prophecy. And how does that connect to written letters / engraved letters of love? Blessed souls, we're going to start off by plucking from the Haftorah, which would have been the Haftorah of 2 weeks ago in Parshas Korach, in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22. For just as the new heavens and the new earth that I am making endure before me, says the Creator, so shall your seed and your name endure, and quote of that prophetic teaching given over to the human loudspeaker Yeshayahu Navi, Navi Gula, Isaiah the prophet of redemption. Blessed souls, the endurance of the human family experience can be testified to by each and every one of us by declaring, I thank you, living and everlasting King. You restored my soul in mercy. Great is your faith. And as we say it in Hebrew, Moda ani lefanecha, melech chai v'kayom, shechazarta bi nishmasi, bechemla, rabba amunasecha. Giving thanks, blessed souls, expresses our subduing every tendency we possess, which every tendency we possess could in fact inhibit us from accessing higher consciousness of the Ein Sof, Baruch Hu, the infinite creator, may be blessed. However, with that being said, I'm not on a fire and brimstone campaign to condemn any tendency which is to the exclusion of seeking higher consciousness. No, 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 no. And let's repeat it one more time. No, 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 no. Blessed souls, I myself, I humbly submit to you, constantly toil as much as I can via these humble submissions to distance myself from seeking to ascend the pulpit of self-aggrandizing, self-proclaimed internet maniacal judgments. For I realize, based on the approximately 27 plus years of learning Torah, written in oral traditions, that our tendencies as human beings are basically, as I wish to clear the air, make things very open, very intimately accessible to anyone who's listening in right now, that our potentialities, for instance, our tendencies are potentialities, per se, to walk, talk, touch, taste, and see and smell, each potentiality can express itself uniquely to the exclusion of the other potentialities or tendencies that we possess, have been blessed and anointed with as human beings. For instance, if I stop talking and try to convey my thoughts via snapping my fingers, as I will do right now, unless I've studied some form of finger-snapping Morse code, and you blessed souls on your parts are experts in decoding finger-snapping Morse code, what am I doing in essence? I'll be wasting my time, and more importantly, I bear the burden of, God forbid, heaven forbid, Hashem Yishmerenu, of wasting your time, which I would argue is not just as precious as mine, it could be even more precious. And when I look back at all the times I've looked into the Torah, blessed souls, I'll be honest with you, I did not learn that there's any mitzvah, biblical commandment, or even an oral Torah traditional elucidation, that there's a means of connecting blessed human souls, as each one of you are, to the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, infinite creator may be blessed, via wasting your time, which is blessed and anointed. Therefore, I humbly advise and suggest to you, blessed souls, to consider your next human experience upon waking tomorrow morning, refreshed from a hopefully tranquil sleep, to thank the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the infinite creator, may be blessed, for keeping you alive, for staying alive, via restoring your soul and embedded within your soul, so all your tendencies and potentialities within your blessed human body, embarking on a new day's experience. Speaking of potentialities, when we speak about potentialities, what type of potentialities should we expect to be revealed from Mashiach Tzidkenu, our righteous Messiah, who will roar out Torah Chadashah, insights of Torah that have never been revealed before by any human being to another human being? I suppose and I suggest that we shall see a manifestation of fully actualized potentiality of humility, anivut, on the part of the Mashiach, which is actually discussed in the Hayom Yom, which is a seminal teaching from 1943, Tavshin Gimel, that was put together by the Lubavitch Rebbe, under the guidance of his father, the previous Rebbe, the sixth Lubavitch Rebbe, Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, for the day of Rosh Chodesh Av, which is, I guess it's about 21 days from now, 3 weeks from today. And I'm just plucking from that teaching that the unique quality of the Mashiach, the Messiah, is that he will be humble, that will be able to be the ultimate of greatness, for he will teach Torah to the patriarchs, Abraham, Yitzhak, Isaac, Jacob, the prophets, like Moses, the very same Moses, Moshe, who received the Torah on Mount Sinai, Har Sinai, Kabbalah Torah. But this same Mashiach, the Messiah, will also be able to teach simple people. I personally read into this teaching that the Mashiach, the Messiah, via his humility, combined with his vast knowledge of Torah, generally speaking, and specifically that, again, as we mentioned just before, that the Mashiach, the Messiah, will be able to access inner dimensions of Torah never before revealed, that this Mashiach, this Messiah that we all are waiting for with pining eyes and longing souls, will probably be the most flexible human ever to live. I'm not going to say the most humble, because in the five books of Moses, Moshe is described as the most humble man upon the face of the earth. So it's not necessarily a contradiction that the Mashiach will have the most plasticity, the most flexibility, while Moses, according to the traditions of Israel, will still retain his status as the greatest prophet we ever had and the most humble man that ever walked the face of the earth. But please, blessed souls, just don't take my word on it. Do a little research into this matter. Why is Moses considered to be the most humble man who ever walked the face of the earth? What may be his flexibility, the Mashiach, the Messiah's spiritual plasticity? And mind you, blessed souls, I'm only projecting my own perception, once again, offered upon the plate of your consciousness, is intimately connected to the Mashiach, the Messiah's acceptance of the whole Torah being in one of the Gedarim, one of the categories of what Torah, how Torah can be categorized as a chok, a divine statute at one level or another, beyond human rational intellectual thinking, but yet is still paradoxically accessible through the human mind and hopefully the human heart as well. Now, this idea of a divine statute at one level of consciousness or another beyond our normative human consciousness, which originally on the mass consciousness plane is the byproduct, the Torah, divine instruction, biblical instruction, is emanating from the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the infinite creator, may be blessed. And the Most High spoke to Moshe, that's the Torah of the mouth. But of course the Most High doesn't have a mouth as we have a mouth. That's an allegorical reference to the fact that the Most High revealed what his intentions were, or creator's intentions. For those of you who don't like the creator be mentioned as a he, creator revealed what we would call speech, not speech like human beings, but speech nonetheless, and Moses wrote it down. So while what Moshe wrote down is what the world regards as Holy Scriptures, Torah, biblical teachings, was again recording the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah, the Torah of the mouth, the Torah of revelation, and then future Israelites throughout the ages, Israelite sages throughout the ages, would pluck from those written teachings, along with the oral Torah traditions, which were also passed down by Moshe, down to Yehoshua, who passed it down to the Zakenim, the elders of Israel, and those in that generation, who passed it down to the Nevi'im, the prophets, who passed it down to the Anshei Knesset Gadol, the men of the great assemblage, which also included not just wise men, but prophets who were wise as well. And these sages wrote down in terse fashion, then it was fully written out by Yehuda Nasi, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, with the revelation of the Mishnah, in order that not previously non-accessible information in terms of getting that slice of divine perception would be passed down to future generations. When we look back at the original writing down of the Torah, Blessed Souls, it was actually carved out in terse fashion in two tablets of stone, which the world identifies as the Ten Commandments, Aseres HaDibros. And I would like to add, from the oral Torah tradition, it wasn't just regular stone. The stone was actually of a gem quality, precious stone, sapphire. And this is taught in the Ma'am Lo'ez, which translated to English is called Torah Anthology, which you can learn about in Torah Anthology. Now, the nature of engraving, Blessed Souls, the way the Torah was originally written down as a matter of engravement, is an instruction for each one of us relating to a higher nature, relating to the concept, the experience of self-revelation. Hopefully we'll go into that in a couple of minutes. On the other hand, when we talk about the writing of the scribes, and Moses himself was a scribe who wrote Torahs. In fact, in the last period of his life, he wrote 13 Torahs. For those of us who attend synagogue or shul at the congregations around the world as part of the 12 tribes of Israel, we see that ink is written on parchment. Dio aklaf. Now, in the process of ink being written upon parchment, or even printed matter, you know, in a book that you might have in your possession, separate entities are fused together in a potent unity, which itself conveys a message that we should try to hopefully internalize. That embedded within it, there is to be revealed, if we try to access it, and we are blessed to do so by the Most High, an instruction on an intellectual, emotional, and more sublime level, a higher desire is revealed within us. And a delight, and a ratzon va'oneg, by the reader of that transmission, connected to ink on paper, dio aklaf, to hopefully not just stimulate a new pathway within the blessed human family experience, but to as well empower the reader as well to feel encouraged to learn more about that particular message manifested, being the fusing of ink upon parchment, dio aklaf. However, when we contemplate upon the message engraved within a substance capable of bearing such penetration, the process of chikika, relating to the idea of chok, of a statute-bound normative consciousness of human beings, this engraving within a substance which is capable of bearing such penetration, within its substance, such a chiseling out in stone, or, as we mentioned before, the original divine revelation of the Ten Commandments, Aseret HaDibros, was upon sapphire. A uniqueness of divine instruction, revelation, from within that substance becomes accessible to one and all within the blessed human family experience. You see, blessed souls, the first pair of luchos, the tablets, upon which the Ten Commandments were inscribed, were directly from the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the Infinite Creator, may be blessed. After Moses, with his prophetic insight and the wisdom that was so pure within his own true intent to not only lead Israel, but to lead Israel with a good eye, broke the first tablets upon the Hashem Yerachem, Hashem of mercy on us, God of mercy on us, the heinous action of the worshipping of the golden calf. A second pair of luchos, of tablets, were transmitted. This time they were engraved by Moshe upon instruction by the Most High. This time he would, in fact, engrave them. Now, I would humbly suggest, again, I have no source, just for the idea of sharing with a point that hopefully you can do your own research upon, blessed souls, the fact that the second pair of tablets, which were received by Moshe by the fact that he himself now had to carve out, and just a parenthetical side note, I never read that Moshe learned to be a chiseler of stone. You see the great divine assistance that he was able to chisel out the stone without any practice. I don't recall reading in the written or oral traditions that he practiced to become a sofer, a scribe upon stone. So I would suggest that that second pair of the tablets was a harbinger towards the process of ultimately recording divine instruction via ink upon parchment, dio aklaf. And even today we see another type of transmission of divine instruction, of Torah, biblical teachings, oral and written traditions, that we see through the natural wonder, or the wonder that's within nature of the computer technology, that we can transmit Torah instruction via particles of light interfacing with computer hardware, and you look upon your screen and you can learn Torah from your computer, your iPhone, your BlackBerry, your Strawberry, your Blueberry, or your smartphone. It's wondrous, isn't it? We started out with the chiseling of stone by the Most High, then man in the form of Moshe, and then as well he would eventually write out the 13 Torahs to give out to the tribes of Israel. And now we see 3,325 plus years later that we can transmit divine instruction through forms of light, electricity, morphed into symbols upon our computer screens. With that being said as well, blessed souls, I'd like to sign off on the following note, that this idea of an engraving within stone, revealing what was previously hidden from the human eye and now being revealed, and the type of interaction of two separate entities, dio, ink, and cloth, or parchment, or ink on paper in the printed book process, or even now, again, electricity and light upon your computer screen monitors, are two expressions, generally speaking, of love. When you love someone else and someone else loves you, you're two separate entities. I mean, physically speaking, you have a body, and the person who is the object of your love, your parents, your wife, or if you're a woman, your husband, or your siblings, or your relatives, or your friends in the community, or a friend you never knew about who will eventually become your best friend, you're two physically separate entities. The Most High created both of you with a divine image, and he wants you to come together like ink on parchment, dio aklaf. Now, in that type of relationship, sometimes person A has to be the ink, and hopefully person B will want to be the parchment. But it's not just a one-way relationship. It hopefully be a symbiotic, synchronistic type of relationship where, or synergistic relationship where person B will be able to write upon the intellectual, emotional, spiritual parchment of person A. However, there's another type of loveless, it says, that relates to the idea of chakik, of engraving. That even before we connect to the existence of other people, who are so important in our lives, we have to chisel away our pain. We have to blow away the dust of hurt or bad feelings we might have incurred in the process of our living experiences, whether we're little children, and therefore we need a little more assistance from our siblings and our parents and our grandparents, whoever comes into our lives, our spiritual mentors, in order to reveal that love that is from within. And that is a love that all of us can access if we want to, but it means we have to chisel away at those negative tendencies and potentialities, which we talked about before, which can be subdued by the act, again, of thanking the Most High in the morning. I humbly suggest to you, blessed souls, by, again, the pronouncement of giving thanks to the Most High, that our soul and the state where we are now fully conscious in our waking moments from, say, 7 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night, We have the power to do things. As we run down to the last section, part of our humble effort study, Blessed Soul, yes, we do agree with one and all that love is a splendid thing, but love is not only a splendid thing. It is connected to our very existence, Etzem Metziut Shelanu, which we have the option to engage in, the Metziut Shel Ahava, the existence of love, B'chol Levovecha, U'v'chol Nafshecha, U'v'chol Modecha, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And once we access that love, that ahava, a question arises, blessed souls. How do we quench that thirst which was preceded by the fiery love of our ascending consciousness? Well, with both of our tendencies, hopefully, both of our natures within us, generally speaking, our tendency, our potentiality to connect to divine Torah, biblical consciousness, and also we have free choice. And a tendency and a potentiality to disconnect from divine Torah biblical consciousness. But another way that we can access and fuel the flames of our love, which is just waiting to be revealed within our human experience, is that we can also access a type of love that is higher than reason, and even higher than acquired knowledge, which we are privy to accessing when we engage in the nullifying of the strange tendencies of our animal side, our Nefesh HaBahamis. The truth is, blessed souls, when I talk about our animal side, do I really need to elaborate upon this? We all know from our own personal experiences here on Earth, each and every one of us, including myself, before anyone else, we know what we're referring to. And with that being said, that we've talked about many different things, tried to connect many different dots, I want to leave you with a song by Blessed Brother, who's out in England. His name is David Dome, who will help us to get us back home, to help us become more whole by listening to one of his songs called Listen Up My Soul. And this is Dunzis Yugoman wishing everyone, first of all, thank you for listening in. Or if you'll be listening into the archive version, hopefully we're going to get more involved in more humble efforts like this and different types of programming, and hopefully reuniting with Dennis Ryan and Ron Williams and Cartrell Gore. And perhaps you too, blessed souls, will feel that it's upon you that you can participate. Today there wasn't time to answer any phone calls, but I do want to wish everyone a beautiful day in a way of Ahav Echad, one love, Gor El Echad, one destiny, Kulanu for all of us. For Darchi Shalom, in a peaceful Darchi Noam, in a pleasant way, Laham Sheikh, to be continued, Bezer Hashem, with the help of the Most High. Remember, souls, you are good, because Ateva Tov Lehetiv, because of the nature of the good to do good, and the one who is the source of all goodness, the Most High, created you. So don't let other people tell you you're nothing but good. Yes, there's what to rectify, Malasaken, but that's okay. Even a diamond taken out of the earth has to be polished in order that it glitters. So may your glittering come in an easy way and in a peaceful way, as you just said, Laham Sheikh, with the blessings of the Most High. Take care, everyone.
Lilies in the valleys are fine, but they're not worth more than a man. How much more value am I to Hashem in his master plan? It's too easy to fall into despair. Gravity will pull me down, but I get up and I get out of here. Hallelujah, spread my wings and fly. So too easy to recall the past, those long, long days and the nights of rain. But remember the light did return and the sun did shine again.
In my zealousness to respond to now Facebook new friend Mo Scott Wilson, I switched off the song. We're going to go back to the beginning. It's a 5-minute song, and I'm sorry for that glitch. You know, we do make mistakes. Here we go again. David Dumbs, listen up, my soul. Take care, everyone.
I fight for a moon and I'll never stop. Far too easy to fall into despair. Even gravity will pull me down. But I get back up and I get right out of here. I'll learn to move up, spread my wings and fly. Elevate yourself, my soul. The sun hasn't harmed you by the day, nor has the moon by night. Take a look around, life will be okay. Amen.